All right. Well, it's been more than a few weeks since my last podcast, and a lot has happened since then. And I figured we could take a whole podcast here to do a little bit of housekeeping on what is going on with the Cross Continuum, what is going on with the Cross Continuum going forward, and kind of what happened and why I think it happened and what's going to happen. So a lot of happening that we need to go over. Well, the reason that I haven't been on here in a few weeks is simply because there's been a lot of, I would call it, unrest in the Cross Continuum brain that sits inside of my head. There's been some writing on the walls for a few months now that I was trying to fight, and my attention was very split across a couple things, really. And I was taking some time to figure out what to do going forward. And in addition to that, me and my family, we did a lot of traveling together, which has been very nice. Spent a week in Colorado, and then spent another week in Colorado, and I'm going to spend a week in New Jersey here soon. And so just a lot of moving parts, which is no excuse for not coming on to make 15 to 30 minute podcasts. But here we are. So let's go over what happened, where we came from, and where we're going. So the initial intent of a Cross Continuum was always to try and help physical therapists with strength and conditioning, right? In any fashion, really. Originally, it was to teach them how to utilize strength and conditioning better, because in my 7 years being a physical therapist, I just didn't think that physical therapists really knew how to do strength and conditioning very well. Speaking from anecdote, you know, I didn't know how to do it very well starting out. I've worked in 7 clinics at this point. You know, not all clinics were places that strength and conditioning really were appropriate to happen. You know, a cardiothoracic ICU, or, you know, being a wound care physical therapist don't really necessitate strength and conditioning, although I could probably make an argument against myself. But I just didn't see that strength and conditioning really had a great footing in the physical therapy world. I didn't learn any of it in school. I just had the kind of privilege of doing strength and conditioning from very early on in my football and baseball days and in high school and middle school. And so I kind of knew that it was an important aspect of life for everybody. And so that's kind of what started at Mark Cargill and Jared Hall. Kind of prompted the beginning of a Cross Continuum, saying that me and CJ could do a good job of filling a gap, a strength and conditioning gap, knowledge gap in the physical therapy world. And so, you know, when Mark Cargill tells you to do something, you do it. And so I created the Clinical Coach Challenge, which was my best attempt at, you know, making an encompassing strength coaching course that was aimed specifically at physical therapists. And, you know, then you walk down the trail of entrepreneurial small business owning and figuring things out. And, you know, you kind of wonder at the beginning, is this something that the market is looking for? Is this a problem that needs solving? Is this a big enough problem that needs solving? And over the 3 years that I walked down that path of, you know, creating content and talking to people and creating a beta group and building an email list and creating a podcast a couple times and renaming things and updating the course content, I was always not sure that the market was really interested in what I had to say. I know that I was interested in what I had to say. Of course, who isn't? But, you know, over the years, it became kind of obvious that the market wasn't super interested in what I had to offer as far as strength and conditioning to the physical therapist goes. You know, you look around and you see folks that are really crushing that arena, and you wonder, you know, is my message not good enough? Is my audience not big enough? Is the copy, is the narrative around what I'm selling not clear enough? And as the years went by, and, you know, I got more clarity, and then I didn't get clarity, and things just got to the point where I was like, I don't even know if this is worth doing anymore, you know, and for a while, you, as a small business owner, and if anybody out there is a small business owner, you kind of cling to this idea that, oh, I just haven't found that good mix of narrative, of marketing, of audience size, of eyeballs, whatever. I just haven't found that thing yet, and I'm like right on the edge of finding that thing that needs to happen for this shit to pop off, as the kids say. And I just never did that, and I was holding on to that for a very long time. And I hired people to help me. You know, I worked with the Uncaged Clinician Group to kind of act as a sounding board or as a mirror to hold up to make sure that, you know, I had done the simple stuff. I had niched down and I had created a good avatar and, you know, I had turned towards my warm audience, those sorts of things. And that wasn't cheap. You know, it was great in the end because it helped me develop something that I'm going to be leaning into going forward, which we'll get to. But, you know, after a certain point of something not working, you kind of just have to look yourself in the mirror and be like, all right, what are we doing here? And that happened recently, you know, with the development of another focus, which again, I'll get to in a moment. I realized that maybe splitting my attention between two services that I had developed wasn't the best idea, you know. And I had spoken to people that were close to me that had other small businesses that that said, make sure you're clear on what it is that you're delivering. Make sure that people aren't confused, because in the sales world, you know, confusion doesn't buy is a phrase that I've read multiple times. You know, confused doesn't purchase, confused doesn't buy. And so with my attention being split, I think people are confused. And I think that drawing a hard line in the sand with a podcast like this is going to help with clarity. And so once I decided that the Clinical Coach Challenge just wasn't something that the market really needed, or I wasn't delivering it in a way that people were looking to receive it in, it was kind of freeing. You know, you're like, all right, I can break up with this thing. I can get a divorce from this thing that I've been trying to force for so long. And it's good and bad. You know, it's kind of like breaking up with your high school girlfriend that you've had for a long time, but you're just certain that you're not going to get married to, but you still love them. And you're like, oh man, this stinks the whole way through. But what that does is it opens you up to the next thing, which is, you know, potentially the thing that you're going to marry, which is hopeful, but it's also starting all over. And then you see people you haven't seen in a while and they're like, oh, how's your girlfriend? And you're like, oh, we don't do that anymore. and so, you know, after killing it off, it's not exactly killing it off. We're just going to repurpose the lecture content. You just can't directly get the Clinical Coach Challenge. And honestly, I don't think a lot of people are going to miss it because of what I was saying. So let's linger a little bit on why I think that the market didn't want to receive the Clinical Coach Challenge. I've spent hours and hours on this podcast talking about strength and conditioning and physical therapy. And the patterns that I've seen are that I just think that it doesn't, the interventions matter so little in the patient getting better, the specific mechanism of the intervention at least, that there's no really immediate drive to seek out new interventions to get patients better, right? So rapport building, the natural history of whatever the presentation the patient has, the regression to the mean, right? These contextual effects that occur all around the symptom presentation, all these things, all these hands that have a play in patients getting better, in outcomes, in things of that nature, there's almost no need for physical therapists to invest in themselves when it comes to something as boring as strength and conditioning, when it comes to something as unneeded in the short term as strength and conditioning. I mean, in a world where the physical therapist mostly is very concerned about short term and almost unconcerned about long term, strength and conditioning falls flat. You really need a special type of physical therapist to want to spend, you know, three or four figures on strength and conditioning with no real immediate return on investment. And I think that the reason that there are companies that do so well with strength and conditioning in the physical therapy space, you know, you have the Barbell Medicines, the Barbell Rehabs, you have Clinical Athlete, you have John Rushen's Baloney, Pain-Free, whatever. You know, I think that the reason that they do so well with this is that they're selling this, I think that they're selling to populations that are very strength athlete facing. And so there's this desire to make sure that you don't have ignorance when, you know, you're in front of like a CrossFit athlete or a powerlifting athlete or something of that nature. And they also sell to, you know, coaches as well, rather than just physical therapists. And I've actually talked to a lot of these folks and that head these companies, and they say the same thing. You know, it's like hard to sell strength to physical therapists. I also think that I got the medium wrong. You know, when it comes to strength and conditioning, something that's so tangible that needs to really be experienced in person, I think that remote is a tough medium, right? A mentorship, a virtual mentorship, is tough. Somebody who's killing it in the space right now, Barbell Rehab, right? Mike Mash does only, well, like 99% in person, right? Their seminars sweep the world. And I think that there is a substantial amount of value that comes from being in person, touching a barbell, having Mike or one of his seminar staff there in person to really manipulate the situation. And you know, folks like to go to in-person things. And I think that was something that I had missed early on. You know, when I developed this thing, it was in the middle of the pandemic and there wasn't really in-person stuff. And so I think that with the cultural shift of not being in person to being able to be in person, I think that I probably could have capitalized better on that. But, you know, while this is a postmortem of the Clinical Coach Challenge, I don't think that we need to really pull on that thread further than I probably should have done some of this in person. And so with the mix of physical therapists not really seeing the benefit of improving their strength and conditioning education, of me probably delivering it in a wrong medium, and I'm sure multiple other things that I flubbed up as far as, you know, giving up too early or you know, not doing the right marketing or whatever. But I think that the mix of that kind of just ended up in frustration and me not really seeing the fruits of the labor that I was hoping to after a few years. You know, if had I been 1 year or, you know, 18 months or something like that, I think that things would be a little bit different. But after 3 years, you know, you kind of have to be like, all right, maybe this isn't it. And so when I worked with Uncaged Clinician, you know, Kevin, David, and Josh, I tried to go into that with the hope of building a Clinical Coach Challenge, right? With talking to their audience, small clinic owners or new clinic owners, who I was like, all right, these folks, they got passion, right? They got energy. They're going to be pouring themselves into their patients because they're small business owners like me. Surely I'll be able to connect with them better as far as strength and conditioning goes. And I want to say I was surprised to learn that they also didn't care a whole lot about strength and conditioning, in the sense that I was trying to sell it as this really important intervention and way to deliver health. But I think that they fall into the same trap as basically all other physical therapists, by no fault of their own, which is it's just not a good return on investment when it comes to delivering value to people, especially considering that you know, only 18% of the world population is active enough. Like, how do you convince somebody to do strength and conditioning when you can't convince them to do it anywhere else? And so not only that, but there's, again, this kind of need for a short-term outcome when it comes to physical therapy, right? You have to get that patient buy-in. You have to be able to get them to stay. And even in the small business world, in the cash PT world, it's like, there's no immediate return on interest, which in a small business you kind of need, right? It is a marathon in a lot of senses, but there is this need for an economic engine to happen immediately, right? And so there's lots of talks in those cash PT groups about, you know, how can I, like, what do you guys charge for dry needling only sessions, or does anybody else have a sauna for their wellness or what have you? And so I realized that they didn't care either, right? Which is another kick in the nuts, but whatever. There was one thing that they did care about, which was when I started going around and talking about myself, and, you know, CJ and I got invited to do lives on there and talk about what it is that we do. People are really kind of interested in the fact that we're totally remote, right? That I haven't been in a clinic. I haven't worked in a clinic in multiple years at this point, and I haven't ended up on the street, you know, which is partially due to the situation that my wife is in. But still, you know, it's very interesting from a standpoint of somebody with a lot of flexibility as far as an entrepreneur, as far as a small business owner. There's something interesting about this kind of untapped arena of remote work. And so they're very interested in that. And you know, I was working with Josh Payne at the time, and he noticed the interest. And at the time, I had brain dumped and kind of tucked away this kind of idea of a service from like 6 months ago. We were at my in-law's house for Thanksgiving, and I had just read this new book about creating offers, and I had put together this offer that I tucked away because I just didn't want to split my attention. And at the time, I called it the discharge recharge, which was where we would basically go to small clinics, teach them strength and conditioning, teach them sales, and teach them how to convert their patients to remote athletes as a back-end wellness program that is delivered remotely. And when I brought that up to Josh, I said, hey, you know, I noticed your audience is pretty interested in all the remote work that we're doing and not super interested in the thing that we're focusing on right now. And I brought that to his attention. He was like, we got to pull on that, right? That's the lever to pull on right now. And so then was kind of the beginning of the split of attention and probably the beginning of the demise of the Clinical Coach Challenge, if I'm being honest with myself. But that's good, right? Because now we're here. And now we have this cool new thing. And so over the last year or so, there's been a lot of refining, testing, and learning when it comes to what we ended up calling the remote wellness fast track. And so for more context, you know, a lot of clinics do and don't have a wellness program. So after basically formal physical therapy is done, physical therapists can transition their patients to a out-of-network wellness program. So it's not really physical therapy anymore. It's more like these health-promoting activities like strength and conditioning that can happen on a cash pay basis. And all that I do right now with my athletes is strength and conditioning in a coaching or what we would call wellness basis, right? I don't charge them insurance. I manage them from afar. I do it from anywhere. And what we're doing now is basically plugging that into the system that CJ and I have to manage our own athletes into physical therapy clinics, right? Because the way that physical therapy clinics do it now is once a patient is done with physical therapy, whether this is insurance or cash-based, once they're done, they usually have these like kind of not super helpful wellness programs, right? And not super helpful in a few ways. So either the physical therapist having the patient come into the clinic for like body work or like single strength conditioning sessions per week or two a week, or they're coming in to use Nordic boots or a sauna or a salt room or vibration chairs or whatever. I've heard all of it, teeth whitening. And they do that on a cash pay basis, right? And so the clinics will, if they, let's say best case scenario, they're doing a strength and conditioning program in-house, right? The patient is coming in once or twice per week to do strength and conditioning, which is great. But they pay probably the same as they were paying for a physical therapy session, which is super expensive on the patient's end, right? If we say the average cash PT clinic charges $200 per session, you know, that's $800 a month for strength and conditioning, which good on the clinic, but you know, that is unsustainable for most patients unless you live somewhere that's very affluent. And then the physical therapy clinic is just basically building a prison for themselves, right? So you have this patient who is coming in one to two times a week for physical therapy, and then they're coming in one to two times a week for wellness for the foreseeable future, which from a financial aspect, again, is great. But from a time aspect and from like a scaling aspect, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so many patients that, or clients at that point in the wellness program, that a clinic can see before they need to start bursting at the seams, basically, right? So once you have this big patient load and you're not really moving patients off your schedule, you're just moving them, you're kind of moving them from left to right with no financial gain, with no time gain, and with a very high financial burden to the patient. You either need to start shortening your sessions to fit in more patients while you're also fitting in these wellness patients in-house. You need to start expanding your hours, right, into nights or weekends. Or you need to just like kick patients off, or I'm sorry, wellness clients off your schedule and send them to a strength and conditioning coach or a personal trainer or a gym or nowhere so that you can have more slots to see patients on the front end. Or you can hire somebody, right? Which is a whole process in and of itself. And so basically all we're doing right now is just telling cash PT clinics and really any PT clinic, hey, you don't really need to keep them here in person, right? I mean, CJ and myself, we've been managing athletes, hundreds of athletes, CJ probably thousands, remotely, very successfully at the highest levels of performance and at very low levels of performance with no issues whatsoever. And you can manage multiple athletes at once, right? At one time. Currently I have, I think, 15 athletes and it takes me a few hours a week to manage them. And that is very different in a very different way of setting up a wellness program than really seeing people in person, right? If I had to see 15 people a week for as many sessions as I give them, I would be totally bogged down, right? And so on average, I give my athletes 3 to 5 workouts a week, right? You can imagine if I had to manage 15 people 3 to 5 times a week, that would take up a ton of my time. And I certainly wouldn't be able to see patients if I was an in-person clinic. And so you can see a large volume of people remotely without them taking up space, without them taking up a whole lot of your time throughout the week. And the way that you see them is leveraging your hour, basically, right? Normally the take home for a patient is like $100, right? Or $150 after all is said and done, after the overhead's paid and all that. I mean, if I have 15 patients and I manage, or I'm sorry, if I have 15 athletes that pay me multiple hundreds of dollars per month and I manage them all within a few hours, I mean, that's multiple hundreds of dollars per hour that I'm putting into that work. And so this is what we're presenting with, this is what we're presenting to PT clinics and helping them build out that back end and essentially scale their business and build free time or non-patient time back into their schedule. And this also helps the patient to not have this huge financial burden. I mean, I've worked with clinicians who their patients or their wellness folks, I guess I could call them, are paying well over $1,000 per month just for a few, like a handful of strength conditioning sessions in person per month. And again, that's not sustainable for most of the population, but you know, a few $100 a month is very sustainable for a large portion of the population. And so yes, there is a little bit of a financial hit, but you kind of have to take that short-term hit to build out this long-term scale. And so basically what we're doing now is creating this one-on-one service where you have immediate and direct access to my brain as far as what it takes to implement something like this, right? What's the software that we need to use? How do we talk to people about strength and conditioning to get them interested in it? How do we convert patients? How do we kind of reframe what they were getting as a patient to what they'll be getting as an athlete? And then how do we deliver strength and conditioning in a periodized and in a very flexible format for the foreseeable future, right? And so that has had an immediate return on investment with a lot of these clinics because they have this nice warm audience who really loves them because they are passionate and they are working with them one-on-one. They're pouring themselves into these patients and they want more from these physical therapists. And I'm going to pull all of this apart and in podcasts in the foreseeable future, but like this is a much more sustainable avenue for a CrossFit team to go down. And in a roundabout way, the goal stays the same, which is to bring strength and conditioning to physical therapy. I am teaching PT clinic owners who have this wide reach of patients how to implement strength and conditioning on a permanent and intelligent and a sustainable way to their patients. I'm also writing the clinic owner's strength and conditioning program for them to experience what it means to be a remote athlete. And then they also get access to the Clinical Coach Challenge lecture information. And so I did say that we kind of killed off or I broke up with Clinical Coach Challenge, but all the lecture content is still being used in a way to teach physical therapy, strength and conditioning, and strength coaching. And so it's kind of an all-around win when it comes to going forward, right? I still get to do the things that I love doing, interacting with physical therapists, showing them strength and conditioning, but I also get to do the other thing that I was really hoping to do, which is help as many patients as I can, because if I can help these clinic owners to scale their business to deliver strength and conditioning, then I am helping a lot of patients as kind of a secondary, and also helping a lot of physical therapy clinic owners spend more time with their family, have success in their business, and learn this entire world of remote strength coaching that is super beneficial. And so the message going forward, if you're still with me here, is going to change from like, hey, you physical therapist, strength and conditioning is important and here's how to do it, to hey, you physical therapy clinic owner, strength and conditioning is important, here's how to do it, but also here's how to implement remote strength coaching as a business plan and as a way to scale your clinic. And so, if that's not something that you're interested in, I'm sorry. If you are interested in it, that's cool. I think that this is a much more sustainable avenue to go forward with. And maybe you can take something from what I've failed with here and what I'm going forward with, which is, repackaging something and changing the message and maybe selling people what they want and giving them what they need is a better way forward. So if you're a cash physical therapy owner and all this sounds very interesting to you, reach out. If you're somebody who's been with me from the beginning, I appreciate it. And I hope that this change in pace is interesting to you as well. And if not, then I'm sorry, but I still think you're cool. And thank you.